100 years after the first youth hostel was created, do such establishments have a part to play in the 21st century? After all, one of the traditional images is of big drafty rooms that you have to share with snoring strangers while being ordered to do the chores and forgo many of life's little luxuries.
A person who travels around and stays in different hostels is a youth hosteler. Here's one youth hosteler with her reasons.
It's good value as well. It's not just that they're cheap. It's that although nowadays you're paying £10 to £15 most nights, it's hot showers and good drying room facilities, good kitchen facilities. And most of the hostels I've stayed at have been very well kitted out.
Now this youth hosteler has been youth hosteling for 13 years. Her father did it before her, and her grandfather did it before the Second World War.
I've been hosteling, I think, for about 13 years, and my dad obviously did it before that, and my grandfather, he was certainly youth hosteling before the Second World War, back in the days when you weren't allowed to turn up any way other than on foot and by bike. There was no drinking in the hostel, and you had to do your chores before you were allowed out in the morning.
Here's another youth hosteler.
They're a bit more swish than they used to be. We used to have to do chores, and the wardens would make you clean the toilets or sweep the dormitories or whatever, and there's none of that anymore.
So youth hostels are changing. Here's Duncan Simpson from the YHA, the Youth Hosteling Association.
Now, if you look at the movement of society, people have looked for more and more privacy and, to a degree, more comfort. And we need to reflect that and meet what people are looking for.